Hello and welcome to Stop Hammer Time. My name's Phil Whelans. With me back again this week is Jim Grant.
Good evening.
And joining us again, it's a pleasure to have him back, is Rob Chapman.
Hello.
Rob is sporting a shirt, but it's not a replica West Ham shirt. It's a genuine West Ham shirt owned and worn during games by a West Ham player. Rob, fill us in.
It is the shirt worn by Peter Braybrook, as given to my granddad at the time, I think. Possibly given, possibly stolen out of the laundry basket. Not entirely sure which.
Because if you've heard us before, you'll know that Rob's grandfather was a West Ham player.
He was a West Ham player,
Eddie Chapman.
He was, and a club secretary and chief executive as well. Yeah,
he was a secretary and a player. Fantastic at the Christmas parties. Absolutely fantastic.
Very good at organising.
Everyone trying to get off with him. Everybody trying to get off with him.
As long as he got nowhere near the photocopier. That
exactly.
Was fine.
Yeah. Exactly. So we played. So it was a genuine shirt worn by a genuine player.
Did you have washed it?
Yes.
Since the 70s.
Yeah. You should swap it.
We should say for listeners, because we're not in kind of full vision, it is
or
the
any
classic.
Form of vision.
No,
well, I think the word listeners was the indicator.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it is the
classic home shirt with the claret body, which is quite purpley claret, and the traditional light blue sleeves, which are very pale blue, and yet the blue trim on the cuffs and the collar is actually quite a darker blue.
It's very next season
by
here,
that.
Yeah.
Having pointed the...
I think I've painted a picture for our listeners there.
A sound picture. We're saying goodbye to Mark Webster as he leaves the studio having done Whistleblowers. Mark Webster, of course, big West Ham fan, has been on this show and will be on it again before we finish this show.
I shall return.
You must return.
I demand it. Piece of paper.
Does it have 3 points?
He's getting very confused with his Second World War references there.
See you, Webbo.
See you later, Rob.
Cheers, mate.
Diddly. So, at the weekend, we returned to losing ways with a solid workmanlike defeat to Manchester City. We have to get used to grinding out these defeats if we're gonna keep our league position where we wanted
to be.
It was a solid workmanlike defeat.
It wasn't a spectacular defeat.
We went out there, we set our stall out early. We wanted to be beaten by the other team.
Yeah,
and, I think we sort of achieved everything we wanted
You'd
to do.
You'd say
in
we
that
lost
game.
Comfortably.
We did a very comfortable loss, yeah.
There were naught points hard fought.
We looked solidly not in control of the game from minute one to minute 90. Yeah, yeah. And that's good.
You can't always lose spectacularly. Sometimes you do have to
in
a shift.
There was that lapse of concentration near the end when we scored a goal. Do you remember that?
That was terrible.
I mean, there's going to be words in the dressing room after
that
be. Game.
Should be. The amount of space that Tompkins allowed himself in the box was disgraceful.
What was happening? I mean, he just completely...
Absolutely incredible. He should have got marked up,
he completely lost his marker.
In fairness to Tompkins, he did try to pass it to Cole Torre, but, he wasn't able to put it out. He put it the wrong side of the
I mean, what I did appreciate was the way we gave Silva so much space early in the first half.
That was good, wasn't it?
The way we were allowing him to play through us,
We showed Silva who
was
wasn't
like
boss.
It.
We showed him who wasn't boss. Straight from the kickoff.
Once we stamped our lack of authority on the midfield,
that was the way to go. The blunt edge up front was extraordinary,
it was.
I mean, we literally cut through their defence like a banana through a lead wall. It was an extraordinary performance.
Cutting edge of a spoon.
It was a really, really solid performance.
Right, well, that's dealt with that then.
So,
let's move on.
Seriously, what do we think about that game? Well, actually, no. Let's before we get into
we must
the
deal with that game
into the City game, because
there will be listeners who want us to
who
deal
want
with that
us
game
to do that.
Yeah.
And also, there's Manchester City news this weekend, isn't there?
With Carlitos.
But
Carlito has his way
now. Carlito's away.
Yes.
Carlito's away would be the pun, surely.
I was fishing for it. I just didn't quite get it.
If he went to Newcastle from Manchester City, that would be perfect. Carlito's away. Let's try and make that news story happen. Let's create headlines for sporting news stories and try and make those self-fulfilling prophecies. Now, last week, you may remember, I intercepted an email from Radoslav Kovac to his mother in the Czech Republic. And buoyed by the success of that, in a Julian Assange WikiLeaks style, I came across an email from the speechwriter for, you'll all know, if you're familiar with making stuff up, that Luis Boamorte does a Christmas address to fans of West Ham every year.
Absolutely.
It's like the Queen's speech.
Yeah,
Luis Boamorte
sit down after our turkey and does, Christmas pudding, and we listen to Luis.
Luis Boamorte does a Christmas address to West Ham fans. Yeah, yeah. And
have you managed to get the text?
Yes. Oh. It's an early draft. So this is what would happen at 3 o'clock on Christmas Day, an address from Luis Boamorte. I'll try and give it some authenticity by attempting the accent. here we go. Hello, and season's greetings from me, Luis Boamorte. As I sit here by a roaring fire with a mince pie and a small glass of sherry, wearing slippers made from the skin of my enemies, I am wrapping festive gifts for the deprived children of East London as part of my ongoing charity work. I ponder deeply the significance of this holy time, and also why it is so difficult to find the end of the sellotape. Christmas is a time of year when those of us lucky enough to... I mean, there must be some kind of tool or device that can locate the end of the tape. As a team, we are entering a critical run of games over the holiday period, and it is important that... I mean, I would have finished wrapping these presents by now if it didn't take so long to find the end of the tape. The suppliers of this tape, W.H. Smith's in Romford, are now enemies of Luis Boamorte, and they will hunt them down, and they will make a nourishing soup from their bones and their hair. Our manager, Avram Grant, has said that we must wear... I mean, for God's sake! Since I have been speaking to you, I have not found the end of the tape! I know it is there, but to all extents and purposes, it has vanished! Like Jack Collison! I am now enraged, and as I throw the roll of sellotape into the roaring fire, I curse the parents of the deprived children of East London. If they had worked harder, I, Luis Boamorte, would not have to buy presents for their children. I will kill them! I will kill them all! How am I expected to deal with these fuckwits when I am trying to get off Prozac? And the fact that we are losing all the time doesn't help. Stop booing me, you shitheads! I hate you fucking cockney lardasses with all your leave it out and you're having a laugh. I will kill you! I will kill you! Merry Christmas, one and all. Luis Boamorte.
Hey! Absolutely fantastic.
That's apparently brilliant. It was his
brilliant.
Yeah. It was the text of his Christmas address this year.
Excellent.
Mild mannered Japanese.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's and a good servant of the club.
Absolutely.
So it was disappointing, wasn't it?
It was disappointing,
I sort of feel that football crowds are slightly influenced by the press now, in that cliches like you know, that goal from the opposing team silenced the crowd. I think fans now sort of look to the press to kind of decide how to behave. And all that stuff of the team wasn't giving them anything to cheer about and stuff was true. Though, I sort of was proved wrong by the third quarter of the game, basically the half of the second half, when we came out, started to play, and something went around the ground, suddenly it was very noisy for 20 minutes.
It was. And I think you might have posted this on the Facebook page, Rob, but to be honest, the first two goals we conceded did come at times where you would have to say that was against the run of play, as they say. And we had quite a good... You know, they seem to have a lot of freedom and a lot of space. It's alarming the amount of space we give opposition teams early in the game, it seems to me, away at Liverpool was an example, away at Sunderland, and in this game as well. But actually, we did get back into it a bit in the first half before they scored. And their goal kind of came out of nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway, the first one.
It did.
It was a fantastic strike, but it did sort of, it was a bit of a defensive error, and it sort of shouldn't have got through to him in the first place. But it did kind of come out of nothing. And then the reaction to that goal bothered me a lot. I really felt
the team's reaction, not so much the crowd's reaction, the team's reaction to that goal was really heads down, slumped.
Oh no, here we go again.
Oh no, here we go again. And fair play to, I mean, you know, whatever we might go on to say today about Avram and whatever people think about Avram, whatever happened in the dressing room at half time kind of worked for a bit, because they came out in the second half and they played at a good tempo, and the wingers got involved, and Barrera, for a lot, you know, he's getting a lot of stick, but I thought he was well involved and seeing a lot of the ball at the start of the second half. And you know what we did, we again and again and again, this is the problem, we were on top and the crowd got up for it and we didn't score when we were on top.
That's right.
Barrera gets a Barrera gets a lot of stick, but apart from, you know, ballooning the single shot, you know, into, you know, row ZZ, which Urbina does 14 times a game anyway, I don't see really what he did wrong. No, he was very involved.
But I mean,
we were using the flanks and the wings. We were coming into the game. It was being fed.
I think
I'd much rather
see a
winger and notice them than not notice them.
It's a bit better than Jimenez. Jimenez was incredibly honest, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Barrera, at least, you know, he's got a first touch. It doesn't, you know, the ball doesn't just sort of bounce off him into the crowd. He can pick it up. He can run with it. He's prepared to run with it. He cuts inside. He'll take on a couple of players.
What's interesting about him is that he tends to come into the game as the game goes on when he plays. He doesn't start hiding.
No, that's right.
You feel that's a kind of what happens in each game is a kind of microcosm of what is likely to happen to him in his West Ham career if we give him a bloody chance. Mm. And that is that he's adjusting to the Premier League, he's adjusting to the physicality and the pace of it, and that he is a skillful and quick player.
Yeah.
And occasionally, just little flashes where he kind of skins someone or he puts in a good cross from time to time. And I think, and he can go on either foot. He can cut his, I know he cuts inside perhaps a bit too much at the moment, but he has beaten the odd person on the outside.
He has.
And, you know, you think, well, okay, no, he's not great at the moment, but you keep faith. A lot of players, when they come into the Premier League, struggle to adjust to its pace. But you feel that he's got some balls to him, and he might actually turn out to be a really, really good player for us.
Absolutely.
If we bloody well get off his back, you know, and give him some support.
The bozos who stand around us were really sort of going, you know, get him off, he's fucking useless.
You hear some stupid things at football matches sometimes, and I don't like to sort of do a, you know, disservice to our fans who are fantastic, and I know that's, you know, that's everything, but at the same time sometimes people need to get a grip occasionally and actually get a reality check as to where we are, who we're playing, and the quality of what they're knocking out on the pitch. And you know what, another thing, I've literally only just remembered who Jimenez was. I know that name.
Sergei Nezovic has emailed us saying, gents, I trust you've read a piece in The Guardian this week on the type of season West Ham is having. It sums up beautifully with abject despair how we must all be feeling right now. I'll try and read this quickly. This is not your average relegation West Ham are experiencing. It is an Avram Grant relegation. Lifeless, insipid and utterly devoid of personality. Quite simply, West Ham's footballers are bored. Bored with losing. Bored with the terrible defending. Bored with the awful football. West Ham have won only 10 of their last 55 league games. With a record like this, it is almost an achievement that they are still in the Premier League. And no wonder the fans are fed up. In years gone by, such a limp display would have been greeted furiously by the Upton Park crowd. Instead, on Saturday, just like their team, they sat back and watched in abject silence as City took them apart with surgical precision.
Is he quoting there, or is that his opinion? Is that The Guardian saying that?
I think this is The Guardian. No, I think he's quoting The Guardian.
I don't want to diss our own people, but he's quoting The Guardian. That's bollocks.
Yeah, it is bollocks.
I mean, the facts are fine in terms of, you know, we've won 10 out of 55, whatever it is. But the you know, completely devoid of personality and everything else he said there,
I'd go along with quite a lot.
Do you really think that was? You thought that we came out in the second half with no personality at all?
No, he's not talking about the whole game, but it was a, I mean, you know, the mirth I was trying to create at the beginning about it seeming like just a routine loss.
Yeah.
We're in a losing couple of seasons.
We've all got to face up to the fact that the team we have at the moment isn't really quite good enough.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think there's some really unusual.
And those are the players that are playing in West Ham shirts at the moment. They aren't quite good enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it was summed up for all that I've said about Barrera, and you've mentioned it already about the ballooning shot. It is summed up in that. You know, Premier League games. We've not been completely thrashed
this season much. We've been in games and we've created chances. We've had periods of pressure where we haven't scored. We've given away stupid and sloppy goals. And we've had some bad luck as well with some really shit refereeing decisions at crucial times.
And we should have been
that have cost us points. And, you know, but the game, you could sum up the game, really, in on Saturday, in that game, momenting in the run against the play, when Yaya Toure had a half a chance on the edge of the box, he lashed the bloody thing in.
Yeah.
And it was a fantastic strike. There was nothing Green could do about it. It was a great goal.
But
it was, you know, it was just a half chance. Barrera had exactly the same half chance early in the second half, and he did. He just spooned a pathetic shot, kind of miles.
But Barrera is not as good a player as Yaya Toure. Exactly. Yaya Toure has paid £250,000 a week. You know, our entire front line. You know, if you look at Barrera, Stanislas, Cole, who came on, Piquion, and Urbina, that entire front line cost £7 million out of five players.
They
didn't have a player on show less than £12 million.
Absolutely, Man and West Ham fans generally have not woken up to the fact that Man City are a bloody good side, and I suspect they've got a very good chance of winning the championship this year. They've spent huge amounts of money on those players. That's not the problem. Losing at home, Man City, in the way that we lost on Saturday, is not the issue. It's failing consistently to beat the teams around us. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's going 2-0 up away from Birmingham, not closing out the game. That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah. The draws we've had, Fulham, West Brom, Blackpool. Those are all games that what you need to do, the story of your
2-1
team's
up against
survival,
West Brom, don't close out the game.
Yeah, that's the story of your team's survival has to be, you know, maybe the odd giant killing, but also just pasting someone below you. And we're sort of failing to do that.
No,
if we look at recent momentum, though, and I totally accept you're obviously right, but if we can judge a manager on what they're doing at the moment. And if you say that losing 1-0 away to Sunderland is not a complete disgrace, they're seventh in the league. We beat Man United. We beat Wigan. They are a team right around us.
Yeah, we beat Manchester United in a tournament that doesn't keep us in the league.
We lost to Sunderland.
The
apparently save our season match, we did win.
Yeah, but I mean, the away game at Sunderland,
I
accept that on balance, not many people winning at the Stadium in Light at the moment. It's a difficult place to go. But the fact of the matter is, we went out for the first half hour, we didn't touch the ball. We didn't chase, we didn't close. It was like Liverpool all over again. Unfortunately, they weren't quite as clinical in front of goal as Liverpool.
It wasn't quite as bad as Liverpool.
Well, it was getting there. It was getting there in terms of attitude and pace and tempo and willingness to get close space down. They dominated possession.
I think Rob's argument basically is essentially that we'll have to call every game a save our season game. Then we might win it.
Winning
just one save our season game, an argument.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Phil, because it is coming back to haunt us. But the conspiracy theory from last season about our results are directly proportionate to the irresponsibility of Golden Sullivan's proclamations is coming back, because the only time they've said anything really stupid this year was this one game's going to define our season,
absolutely. I'll tell you, Blackburn is the marker. We're away at Blackburn is a marker.
If we
do not win that game, we're not going to win an away game this season, and we will go down.
Of course, the Blackburn game in our Great Escape season was where
it was a turning point.
Carlos Tevez heroically threw himself in front of a West Ham shot and prevented it crossing the line.
He was doing a bad bit of skipping. He tried to jump out of the way and didn't time it, if you remember.
He also scored the goal against Manchester United on the last game of the season, which, if you read any newspaper written by any sports journalist with any credibility about him, kept us in the Premier League, despite the fact that if he hadn't scored that goal, the score would have been 0-0.
And we'd have still stayed
in the Premier League.
He
scored the goal that didn't keep us in the Premier League.
We stayed up by 5 points last season. We had 35 points. Burnley and Hull had 30 points. We could have lost that game and it would have made no difference at all.
Lazy journalists, kill yourselves. Jim, you have some poetry?
Poetry Corner poetry is back.
Jim's poem, the Victor Obinna poem.
It went down well. I will post it. I will post it on the Facebook.
I think you should.
I will.
People love that poem.
I'm glad.
It's difficult to get people to like poetry because
it is.
You should be a teacher.
A lot of poetry is
completely boring. Most of Wordsworth completely boring. Yeah,
John absolutely. Cooper Clarke.
Yeah.
John Hegley.
You're saying he's
John
boring.
Hegley. Mm. No, they're good.
Mm. They're accessible. It doesn't necessarily mean the same thing. What I've got is a small...
Jim, is this poem going to be inaccessible?
Yeah, of course. I hope so.
Is it like an Allen Ginsberg?
That's what I put. Well, look, what I've got is three sort of short poems rather than one long poem.
Should we feed them in throughout the
podcast? We can do that if you like. I've got a first one which is very, very short. It's very short. And its title is probably longer than the actual poem itself, because it is pretty much all you need to know about West Ham United season so far.
I want to hear this.
It goes, Super Scott can do a lot. Avram Grant can't.
Ooh, it's like a haiku.
It's got that kind of economy.
Yeah, nice.
And then I've got a couple of poems.
You weren't insulting Avram Grant in a South African accent there, were you?
No. Only inadvertently.
Is that because a South African accent's going to come up, Rob?
We're building.
Yeah.
And then I've got a couple of poems about the 4-0 win over Manchester United, which, of course, we can feel chuffed about still.
Do you want to do one of those now?
Let's do one now, then let's move on. Okay, this is another short little poem, and I'm indebted to Angela Poe for introducing me on the Facebook page to the phrase chumped off.
Chumped off, yes.
Chumped
That's
off.
Right, she's American,
chumped
isn't she?
Off. Yeah, chumped off. To chump off, the dictionary definition, I looked it up on Google Dictionary, Wiki mm-hmm. Dictionary thing. I think you might have spotted that I didn't really there.
Was it WikiLeaks?
I looked it up, and the actual definition is to make an idiot, to make someone look like an Arsenal fan. To chump off.
Ooh.
To make someone look like a Muppet.
Right.
Or a numpty.
Did the dictionary say Arsenal fan?
Yes.
Dictionaries have changed since my day. The Spurs dictionary, basically. every single...
Do you think I might have stumbled into that?
Every single word description is essentially about Arsenal.
Yeah. All the negative ones. Anyway, this is it hasn't really got a title, but it is in honour of both... Victor Obinna's performance and Angela Poe's lovely phrase, chumped off. In Victor Obinna, we picked a winner. The way he chumped off De Silva when he dumped him on his arse and made that pass for Carlton Cole to score a goal didn't half make me laugh.
Nice. Nicely done. Nicely done, Jim. You're obsessed with Victor Obinna. All your poems are about him.
No.
You're like William Wordsworth with the mysterious Lucy character.
Yes, he is mine.
Also, Shakespeare had a muse for a lot of the sonnets, didn't he?
Yeah, the Dark Lady.
The Dark Lady.
The Dark Lady of the sonnets, yeah.
Yeah.
Victor Obinna is my Lucy.
He is your muse. Angela Poe, if you take a look at our Stop Hammer Time... Facebook page, and I urge you to do so. Angela posts quite a lot. She lives in America. She's one of our many American Facebook listeners and posters. She worked the Amir Khan versus Marcos Maidana boxing match in Las Vegas because she works for a promotions agency. And there's an excellent picture she has posted of her in a Collison number 31 t-shirt by the ringside.
That's just got
the
right level of obscurity about it
as well. Exactly, yeah. And she says, as part of my job, I sit in the press field right behind. It's not a real field. Las Vegas doesn't have it. Well, it has some field orientated hotels with CGI fields.
Yeah, but it's mainly desert.
It's there, mainly
it'd be
desert.
A long way
there.
From the ring, wouldn't
it's
it?
It's a long way, yes, huge way. So she was sitting in a field, from what I can gather, behind Adam Smith of Sky Sports, who spent the first few hours of the day interviewing David Hay, which I'm sure ran as correspondent snippets, she says, on Sky Sports News. They've worked together in the past, so he knows me, sees me, doesn't actually know of her love of football. Why should he? He. Because she is an American woman who should ostensibly not be interested in English football. But she was in her Collison T-shirt. She should point out that she says that she spent the morning at the Crown and Anchor, which must be an English pub.
It's rhyming slang, isn't it?
I have drunk there. Mm.
In Las Vegas. Right. The Crown and Anchor in Las Vegas? The it's a pub in... you've been there?
Yes.
Is it an English-themed pub? Are there...
What do you think?
Beheadings and...
No, not beheadings.
Naval fights in the Channel?
No, it's basically entirely full of English people pretending that they're not in America.
In Vegas, that's bizarre. So there I am being waved over by a Spurs fan, she says, sat with a Gooners fan, another journo. Ricky Hatton was there. It's just name-dropping this email, essentially. And behind the heavyweight champion of the world, who happens to be Millwall, I presume.
Is that
being
true?
Interviewed by Sky Sports while still kitted up in my scarf.
And he's nodding approvingly. Disapprovingly. Can you nod disapprovingly?
My friend Gareth, she says, took it upon himself to tap David Hay upon the shoulder and say quite loudly, "Hey, David, it's West Ham," because she had her shirt on. He responded, mind you, still mid-interview with Sky, "Oh, ha-ha," smiling and wagging his finger back and forth as if to say, "Naughty girl." She was only wearing a West Ham shirt. That's possibly, I should have mentioned that. Yeah. I wasn't able to capture that moment, although Sky Sports might have, but I did get a shot a friend sent over to me. So do look at that shot of the ringside at the Amir Khan fight.
Wow.
With a Jack Collison shirt.
Excellent. Good girl.
Proudly excellent. Displayed.
Excellent.
People who've bought a Hitzelsberger shirt, they've been ripped off, haven't they?
Oh, they have.
Never actually play for us.
That's my prediction, is that he will never kick a ball for
Jim,
West Ham.
Yeah, Jim thinks he might never actually kick a ball.
That could happen. Yeah. If we go down.
Like Joey Beecham.
Good, great.
Yeah.
Was he injured in his first game? Was he injured in the?
He was homesick. And didn't play.
Oh, of course.
Simon Webster probably did kick a ball for West Ham.
I think he did.
And Richard Hall did as well. But not many balls. Kick them many balls.
Disco Dale Gordon.
However, he did score our first Premier League goal.
He did. Yes.
Actually, in Wikipedia, as you were doing Wikipedia last year, it does say under Thomas Hitzelsberger. It says Thomas Hitzelsberger is a player for West Ham United. Citation needed.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
fitness needed, really.
Talking of players that don't play for West Ham, Rob, you have something from Benny McCarthy.
I do. Obviously, as we have our moles out there in the internet ethosphere or whatever it is, intercepting correspondence, I think I may have identified the reason why Benny McCarthy was actually signed in the first place. And
is this an illicit email?
I wouldn't say illicit, because illicit implies illegal, and that would obviously land us in all sorts of bother. So
You've hacked.
Yes, I have. Yeah, I have. Julius Sanchez, and he's passed it on to me.
Yeah.
I have a letter here written home in the style of... not in the style of Radoslav Klove. Actually, wasn't copying his homework. But we shall see what he says. I'm going to tip my best Cape Town accent here. So we'll see how we get on with this. But
it's nice with the pantomime season to hear Fagin.
Oh, what do you say, my boy?
Don't put him off his stride.
Before I start, I've been constantly undermined here. It says, "Dear Mama, you always told me as I grew up in the townships of Cape Flats that if I worked hard and applied myself, that one day I would escape from the oppression, the tyranny, the hopelessness and the squalor of the third world ghetto. And so it came to be that finally I was able to get out of Blackburn. I've been working on my escape plan for some time, and my attempt to eat my way through the walls of Ewood Park, covering my tunnelling with a poster of Rita Hayward, was progressing nicely. However, my exit plan was hastened somewhat with a stroke of luck last January. I received a call from comedy double act Bongo Barons, David Gullible and Sold, who said to me, 'Hey, Benny, call blimey, what's your mate? Love a duck, urcher, we've always been cocking these knees up mother brown, me old China. We are building long-term project down here, and we've been watching you, and we really think that we could build something around you.' I said, said, I hope you've got a lot of bricks if you're planning to build around me, but they seemed undeterred. Do not worry your pretty little head about me, old maple, apples and pears, who have a banana, rabbit, rabbit, watcher, watcher, I'm getting married in the morning, urcher, urcher, this has always been our club and we're fans really at Hard China Plate. We are creating long-term sustainable project down here and we think you could be the star. Sounds great, I said. What is it? Chubby Chasers 9, they said. You see, we have a large number of publishing interests centered around specialist tastes, and there are a rapidly growing market for the big bone gentleman. Sounds perfect, I says, because I is rapidly growing too. The masonry here at Ewood Park is particularly calorific. However, they said, would you add an immediate Barnet Fair, Ruri Murray? We love this club, and we're both fans at heart. Lend us an ear, and la di da, urcha, urcha, trouble and strife. It appears that bringing in sex workers from a third world country, such as Blackburn, could technically be classed as people trafficking. So, quite right with you, we're going to tell people that you're going to play football for West Ham United. Play football, I said. It's such a crazy idea that no one could possibly accept foul play. So, I travelled down from third world ghetto of Blackburn to Fancy Dan London Town to meet little house elf manager Giant Pancake Zola and his gruff assistant Beefheart. Very shortly they were gone, and I was asked what I thought of Zola. He was very tasty, but somewhat lacking in substance, I said, and not much like a giant pancake at all, which was rather disappointing. The beef heart was tough beef, but substantial. I struggled to manage him, which was quite appropriate, really, given how much he'd struggled to manage the team. But I must go now, Mama, as I'm topping this from dugout. A nasty vampiric manager, Avran Grant, has told me that I need to get out of my seat and warm up, so he has called for the winch. We nearly had misunderstanding of hilarious consequences. Benny, he said, you need to warm up by East Stand. I need to warm up by eating the stand? Right, boss. No, 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 Benny. I said, East Stand, the chicken run. Ah, I said, it was nearly mix up of hilarious consequences. I see now, the chicken run. So I'm now off to KFC for a massive family bargain bucket and soon comedy Jazz Brothers Gullible and Soul tell me I will be right size for Chubby Chasers 9. And then all my worries about having to potentially run around for a living will be over. You will be so proud of me, Mama. So I must go. Please say hello to Papa McCarthy and sell all my love to little McCarthys, although I suppose that in relative terms, all McCarthys are little compared to me. You always said moving to England would allow me to grow as a person, and I'm pleased to say I have certainly grown as a person. Your loving son, Benny McCarthy.
Oh, nicely done.
Excellent. You intercepted that off the
internet. I did, I know.
That's brilliant. It's amazing what you can find on the internet.
Fantastic. So, have we finished talking about the Manchester City game? I think we probably
have.
Now, we should probably, I mean, we've actually got to wrap this up fairly soon. Doesn't time fly?
It does.
We've got another poem from Jim.
Do you want one now?
Are we poemed up? No, yeah, let's talk a little more about football.
Do a little bit more about football.
Let's talk a bit more about football.
I think we should talk more about football.
When you say more about football.
Now, let's very quickly talk about Blackburn coming up. Blackburn have just lost the manager. Big Sam.
Has he gone?
Sam has been sacked.
When's that?
Today.
That's today.
See, I've got a computer screen in front of me, and I am getting hot stuff on the screen.
No. Please don't tell me he's been lined. Really? Oh, no.
It can't be. Well, Clyde Rhino Longcake. Big Sam been sacked at Blackburn, he says, on Facebook. Supposedly, Sugo was seen having dinner with him a few days ago.
That would have taken quite a long time.
No. Yes. Well, there'd be the lap dances first.
Please, no.
Is he really wanting to be reunited by Benny McCarthy?
No. Surely we can't have Sam Allardyce.
I mean, can you remember how bad it was under Kirby?
That would be like waking up from a nightmare and realising you're having a worse nightmare than the nightmare.
Well, a lot of horror films do that now, don't they? Yeah. The person wakes up, but they're still in a nightmare. And then they wake up again, but in the nightmare.
That would be like us.
Let's just dismiss the possibility of Sam for a moment, but what do we think about changing the manager? Because we've been stern. Rob is literally in love with Avram Grant and doesn't want to change the manager.
No, I'm literally in love with Radoslav Kovac.
I'm figuratively in love with Avram Grant. Yes. I feel that the problem lies essentially with the players.
I agree.
Because the financial privations we've suffered over the last couple of years, we have not been able to assemble a squad of players that is Well, good. And we're having to make do with the ones we have.
It's not just that they're not good. It's that we've been left with a lack of leadership on the pitch. We've been left with a lack of kind of gutsy players who will dig in. And I don't think you can necessarily lay the blame at any one particular person's door for that. But it's also the case that we've let go over the last couple of years a number of players who you think, well, they were good enough, they were probably better than some of the people. I mean, Tuprella at left back looked really good whenever I saw him.
Yep.
Why did we let, you know, I wasn't totally convinced by him, but why did we let Diamante go when he is a player who would score you free kicks?
Who would
occasionally get you a goal out of nothing that might be enough to win you a tight game.
That's right.
At the moment, we get a free kick 25 yards out. Well, we're not going to score, are we?
No.
Because we haven't got anyone who takes a decent dead ball. Victor thinks he can.
Well, Stanislas was terrible at the weekend.
Well, absolutely, yeah. I mean, so I think you're right, Phil. I think the problem is the players. I would never advocate sacking a manager. I think you've got to give people time and you've got to allow for stability. I mean, I think the fact of the matter is that we aren't good enough for the Premier League at the moment and we probably will go down. But...
I wonder though whether there is a sort of a type of manager, whether there is actually someone who could come in and put the kind
just
of
galvanize
bejesus
them
up these guys and get them to play.
Maybe you're
right. I wonder whether that does happen. I mean, I wonder whether. I think they have to have sort of assembled that team of players. I'm not sure. You know, clearly Mick McCarthy, Wolves had a great result at the weekend. They've been playing badly, and he's.
He's built a bit of a team there.
Yes,
he's built a team.
That's right. Yeah. I can't stand him. I just think he seems like the biggest idiot in the world. But at least they've got that sort of giant killing feel about them. The underdog feel that's kind of going.
Yeah, that's
right.
We don't,
we
don't deserve
they had
to be
10
in
the, fit first team players out of their squad of 25. They had 10 fit first team players on, and they still beat Birmingham.
What happens in those circumstances is that there are teams that go, we don't belong in this league. We're going to prove everyone that we deserve to be here, you know. So that's what Blackpool are doing now. That's what the Hammers under Pardew did. They were all players from lower league teams that found themselves in the Premiership. They were from Wimbledon.
Yes, it was a shame that all went pear-shaped for one reason or another. But yes, that's true.
It's conceivable that there might be someone out there who could come in
who could galvanize
that.
Well, you could have said it would have been Pardew, but that's not going to happen now.
I'm not sure you can threaten many of our players with sort of being dropped at the moment because they're so unfit, all of them, that most of them are injured for a handful of games anyway. It's like going, Barami, you have to play for your place now. Chances are he'll just get injured anyway. No one's sort of a fixture in the team at the moment because they're all picking up injuries. Cole doesn't seem to relish his chance getting back into the team. I mean,
what's wrong there, but something clearly is wrong because we have seen with our eyes Cole as a really outstanding bullying striker. You know, I've seen it happen.
As Robbie said on Saturday, he was actually getting knocked off the ball.
He was getting muscled out of every tackle, isn't there? Fundamentally wrong. I mean, it's all in his head, isn't it? Because physically, he has all
he
the attributes. I mean, his first touch at the moment is going further
like
than
it
I
was.
Can kick the
yes.
ball.
Yeah. I mean, this is what we used to make jokes about 2 years ago.
Cole can't control.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But in some ways, it's a good thing that we have two other players in Obinna and Piquion who cost a grand out of a million between them that can actually mean that you can drop Cole to the bench. That couldn't have happened last season. You know, Cole had to start every game because he had nothing
else.
That's
true.
Piquion,
though, is not a natural goal scorer. Neither of those two are natural goal scorers. We desperately
God only knows
need
Obinna,
someone
isn't.
Who has a habit of scoring and who knows where the net is. We've got to take a punt on someone, even if they don't come off. You know, and I know for every successful kind of player you pluck from obscurity, there are you know, plenty who don't deliver, a la David Kelly. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we've got to do something about
somebody who gets in the box and sniffs out a half chance, who sticks the ball away when it kind of bobbles around, you know, or just kind of gets in front of a defender. You know, there's so little of that going on. And why Cole could suddenly, for one half against Manchester United reserves, look like the kind of player who suddenly, you know, one goal headed where he brilliantly timed his run, stayed off O'Shea, came in front of him and got in front of him and scored. And another great piece of close control in the box.
Yeah, brilliant.
And a cool finish. You know, why doesn't, you know, that's, for a moment, that was, I thought, oh, yeah, a year ago, he was like that all the time. And our splendid techie has just said, written Dean Ashton on his hand.
Yes, yeah.
And, of course, yeah, we did. Oh, we were unlucky in losing him. We've been an unlucky club for a couple of years. There's no question about that. But, you know, to some
England
extent,
ruins
you've got
our
to try,
strikers.
You've got to try and make your own luck, haven't you, in football?
Yes, you do.
I think they'll have to get rid of Avram. I think they will. And they're going to have to swallow an awful lot of pride and lose a lot of face in doing it. But I think they probably will get rid of him.
But do you really think we're playing badly? Could we have done that much differently or better against that Man City game? That's what worries me.
No,
I'm not sure we could. We end up firing a manager on the basis of losing at home against the league leaders 3-1, where...
But that's not why we're firing him. I mean, this is a bit like your Save Our Season game thing. It's not down to one game. We've been bottom of the league for the whole season. It's not down to the
City. I accept that.
He wouldn't be fired because of the City game.
Yeah, but I mean, who was his key signing of the summer? Signed early enough to establish him in the team, did really well in pre-season matches, Hitzlsperger. And he's not had him available to pick. He would have been first choice. He would have been anchoring our midfield, wouldn't he?
We've got to wrap this up.
Do you want my last poem?
Yes.
Shall we do that?
Yes.
This is about Johnny Spector. So it's in honour of Angela as well and all our American listeners.
Yes.
It's a little poem in praise of Johnny Spector, sort of, anyway. And it's just called Johnny Spector, and it's about the other week's game.
Less context.
Yeah, sorry.
More poem.
I'll just get on. In years to come, when we reflector upon Johnny Spector, I expector few will recollector freezing snowy night at the Boleyn. When the man we thought was useless, even worse than Peter Eustace, that wanky Yankee Jesse suddenly played like Lionel Messi. It was, in every respecter, real collector's item, when Spector, the offside deflector, nodded one and banged a second in. When the man we thought a plodder, even worse than Gary Strodder, that wanky Yankee Jesse suddenly played like Lionel Messi.
Oh, nicely done, Jim. Nicely done. Okay, we've got to wrap this baby up. We're playing Blackburn Rovers.
Blackburn.
Away.
Now they've sat their bloody manager, they'll be up for it.
No, it's so annoying.
Why does it always happen to us?
I mean, every team in the world is a bogey team for us. But Blackburn feel like they're...
A little bit. No, we always used to spank them at home, didn't we?
Yeah,
We score four against them at home.
I remember 7-1 away, though.
Oh,
yes. I watched that with my grandma.
Grant McCann, own goal. Remember that?
Yes.
Where's he now? He is somewhere now, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know where Grant McCann is.
I mean, as in he's not dead.
Yeah, not dead.
He's still alive.
God, what if he was?
Oh, no.
That Colombian situation.
Yeah. Of course, Tevez prevented that goal going in. Courageously threw himself in front of
the FA Cup. Penalty shootout win. First ever time we had a penalty shootout.
Yeah, yeah.
We scored five. Lomas scoring the fifth.
Yes, that
doing
was
doing a silly sort of run around, not quite know what to do celebration.
Stevie Lomas. Mm. So, what do we think?
Well, we have to win.
We've got
game.
To win it.
We have to go there and win. We've got to go all out. We've got to play high tempo.
1-1, I see.
Yeah.
I can't repeat your score, can I? That's the rules.
No, not the rules.
2-1 away, then. I'd have said that before Alavés got sacked.
Yeah.
I think we're going to nick a 1-0 win.
A 1-0-er.
And it's going to change our season.
Change our season. Is it a save our season game, Rob?
If Golden Sullivan or Gullible and Sold say it is, then I'll be very happy to support them in their idiocy.
Can I uncross my fingers now, Phil?
Yes. Yes, you can. This has been Stop Hammer Time. With me have been Jim Grant.
Good evening.
And Rob Chapman.
See you later.
And Imran. He's just making a gesture, a rude gesture.
Yes. Rude, upsetting gesture.
He's a nice man. We'll see you again next time. Come on, you irons.
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at westhampodcast.com. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on this podcast, please call our marketing partners Sports Revolution on 0207 580 2850 or drop them a line at info@sportsrevolution.co.uk.